Welcome to the Eyes on Conservation podcast, where we bring you engaging conversations about wildlife conservation issues from all across the globe. To have or not to have children? That is a most vexing question, and one I wrestled with personally during my 30s. A career in conservation, and in particular being steeped in issues of climate change, firmly planted me on the fence on the issue. After all, how could I bring life into this doomed world? At the same time, I witnessed nature's resilience firsthand, opening the possibility of hope for the future, so maybe a new life could thrive and contribute to making the world an even better place. Then I hit 40 and was quietly relieved that nature had made the decision for me, and that answer was no. That is, until it wasn't anymore. I have no idea what changed, but suddenly my husband and I were expecting, and the world flipped. Matt Podolsky and I chatted about this flip and the curious business of having and raising a conscientious child that makes a positive contribution to the world, and how finding answers to these questions led to the idea for a new podcast. Have a listen.
Usually I start off these interviews by asking the person to tell me what their name is and a little bit about themselves, but I think folks that listen to the podcast have already gotten to know you pretty well over these past few months.
That's right.
Since you've been hosting the show. But maybe, you know, maybe a good place for us to start this conversation is, you know, for you to just talk a little bit about like what this experience has been like for you thus far, like hosting this show and doing interviews and editing interviews and the whole thing. I mean,
the podcast has been sort of an adventure into thinking about conservation in a totally new light and looking at things from not from an academic sort of standpoint, but from it's something that we're all engaged in, and that has been sort of an interesting eye opener for me. And even just kind of looking for stories and talking to people and seeing where things, I don't know, sort of manifest and come about, and meeting new people that aren't scientists or working in conservation science directly, but you know, very connected to conservation. That's been the most exciting part about working on the podcast, for sure.
I mean, that's the one thing that I love about this show. You know, it gives me an excuse to like reach out to people that are doing really interesting work in conservation, people that I admire, or somebody that, you know, a project that I learn about and I just like am curious and just want to learn more. And whereas before we were producing the podcast, I would be hesitant to reach out because I'd be like, what's the excuse to like have a conversation with this person other than I'm just personally curious, you know? It's empowering, I think, right? Because it's like, oh, like here's a person doing interesting work that's connected to conservation, and I just personally want to know more. And I think it's empowering in that it gives you the motivation to just reach out and just start a conversation with these people. Or with somebody, you know, but also like to reach out to somebody that you see as like, you know, in this like higher echelon, like working on just like these really cool projects that feel like, oh, I'm so like what I'm doing is so small and what you're doing is so big. But like often those people respond and like want to have a conversation, you know?
And it's been nice too, because some of the things that sort of came along, like actually the conversation I had with Julia Barnes was like really insightful and made me think differently. And not only was it just an interesting person doing something different or something that I was curious about, but just even the conversation itself just made me change my worldview in some small way. So yeah, and my hope at in each of these instances is that it's not just my small epiphanies that come out of it, but you know, that somebody listening is offered that experience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the other stage of it, right? The you know, it's like it's empowering because you start to realize like, oh, I'm not the only one that's curious about these things. And, you know, and you get, you know, you start to get some feedback and people are downloading the episodes and you're like, wow, a lot of people share this curiosity about all these different facets of conservation and what we think of. Yeah, that's cool. And it's cool to hear that, you know, you've gotten that sort of both personal and professional benefit from.
And of course, I mean, I have to admit openly that that I've been a radio junkie for, I don't know, 20 some plus years and been kind of secretly like, I want to do that, but kind of afraid to do it, not really sure where to start. And then finally, you know, when I had seen that Wildlands had this position open, I was like, I'm going for it, because I've always wanted to do it. So it's been amazing because, you know, just opening up a whole new, I haven't done this before, but it's something that I've been so interested in and really paying attention to. And I'm a better listener now as a result, because I listen for what makes a good story. And that just makes it all the more exciting for me.
Totally. And, you know, so the, you know, one of the main reasons that we're doing this little episode here today is to introduce, our listeners to a new show concept that you are now developing, which is super exciting. And I mean, I'm really excited about it. But I mean, this new show that you're developing, it stems from a personal development. So like, maybe you should start with that, like the you know, what led to, I mean, I'm sure there's the personal aspect of like what's going on in your life that was the seed of the idea. But then also, like, I'm curious to hear about like what the creative thought process was like as well. Like, oh, I could turn this into a story that could be a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, so as far as my personal journey goes, I had sort of, I don't know, tripped into pregnancy, if you can say that. I don't know if you can call that, but it was, you know, something that I had been thinking, you know, my husband and I had been thinking about for many years, but like we always had hesitations and we, you know, and I, of course, working in conservation would always be like, but the world is falling apart. And I was working in climate change for a while. And when you work in climate change, you just like, you can't imagine bringing another human being onto this like planet, because you're bombarded with the science that says, you know, hell in a handbasket. So part of me was just like, you know, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? I'm just going to sit on the fence. And then it happened. And so now I've been thinking, okay, well, it's happening and we're going in this direction, but how do I bring somebody into the world that's going to better the situation and not contribute to the problems? And the more I started asking that question personally and sort of exploring it with different people I spoke with, the more I was hearing different, you know, just sort of a different perspective on the whole take of having a child and raising a child and what it all means. Because I feel like, you know, there was a time when, you know, everyone was just like, well, you get married, you have babies, that's just how this goes. But I feel like we're not at that point any longer, right? We've evolved to this point where, well, at least I'm not. I've evolved to a point where I overthink and really take it very seriously, you know? And so the idea of bringing someone into the world and saying, well, how do I make a good person? That's sort of where it all stemmed from.
Yes. And I mean, I think part of the reason that I am so excited about this show idea that you're working on is because I have a 4-year-old son, and I have experienced a lot of these, I've gone through a lot of these same like thought processes, you know, like when my wife was pregnant, and even now, like it continues. It doesn't stop, you know. It's like you're always thinking about these things, and you know, what kind of, you know, what is this child's future going to look like? What will the world look like when this child is, you know, my age or even older? And then, yes, as you said, like, how can I, like, how do you make sure that you raise that child with the, like, the right set of values so that they're not contributing to the problem, but working to make it better, you know? So there's like so many different facets to it. I mean, and then there's also, I mean, this is also like a topic that, you know, that we've explored, on the podcast. And you know, I mean, there's one episode, one interview that I did that, I think is like really directly connected to this topic, which was, an interview I did with these two women who founded this group, called Conceivable Future. And it was basically just like the whole idea behind their organization was just creating these sort of like discussion sessions, like creating an open forum for both parents and people that aren't parents, but are sort of grappling with this question of like, you know, do I want to bring another human into this world? Just creating a safe space for people to have that conversation and recognizing that it is really difficult for a lot of people. And I think especially for people that like work in conservation and are forced to think about these things on a daily basis. So I don't know. I mean, like, do you, I guess I wonder like what, I mean, you mentioned, you know, this one sort of specific idea that you definitely want to explore of like, how do you raise a child with like the right set of values to make sure that they're not contributing to the problem, but, you know, helping find solutions. But I mean, are there any other like, specific ideas or avenues? Like, what are some of the other sort of concepts you're hoping to explore in this new series you're developing?
I think about history of like women going through this experience and how that's changed, and essentially how the demographic of who's having children, because I'm in my 40s. And for a first-time mother, that it used to be like absolutely unheard of, but that's been a big shift. And it's a big cultural shift simply because of where we are. But I'm curious how that all also comes into effect. You know, like a lot of people are paused in their like, I don't know if I want to do this. You know, it might be for financial reasons, it might be for career reasons, it might be just be like I was, like hung up and sitting on the fence. But like really just sort of getting into and exploring the concept of where we've come in as a species in terms of our reproduction, right? And how we handle and how this has sort of changed even within the last, I don't know, 40 years since I came into the world. So and those are, you know, those are conversations that I'm finding that are just really an interesting side of this issue that I didn't know much about.
I love how you put that, sort of like analyzing like how as a species, you know, our attitude and our approach towards reproduction, like how that's shifted. It was a very cool way to put it. And I think it's sort of like it implies this sort of it sort of hints at this much larger issue and question that we're always sort of trying to explore and tease out in all the interviews we produce for EOC, which is like showing or demonstrating that humans, like what are we? We're just another species. You know, we're just another animal, right? And we are functioning members of these ecosystems and interacting with all these other members of these ecosystems, you know. And so it's a cool way to put it, and to sort of put it in the biological context as well, you know.
You know, it's just interesting from here we are developing our concepts of how we have babies and how we take care of these infants and when we have these infants, but yet we're still kind of forgetting the fact that there's more than just this one, there's a bigger picture that we need to look at.
like what you just said, I think brings up, you know, to kind of connect that issue to your approach towards, you know, how you want to tell this story and all these stories and how you want to convey these ideas to an audience. I mean, you know, I think my understanding of like, you know, this idea for this new show that you're developing is that it will sort of, your personal experience will sort of take us through the process and sort of open up these doors of areas, you know, different topics and ideas to explore that are connected. So, I mean, maybe you can just talk a little bit about that, about how you're going to like, how you're going to take people through that experience, you know, using your personal experience.
Right, right. And mostly it's, and not digging into anything personal or private or, you know, in something that feels, makes me entirely vulnerable, but the kind of the things that, and these are the things that, you know, have affected me or changed the way that I thought about this particular experience. And then every time I am having these questions that are just sort of bothering me personally, and then hearing other people have that those same questions arise, whenever that happens, that's when I think, oh, this should be dug into and made into a show. Because if it's not just me having this experience and other people are having these questions as well, then that's worthwhile information to, you know, sort of bring out and good stories to tell.
Maybe we can, you know, talk a little bit just about the format and structure of the show that you're envisioning. You know, I mean, any sort of ideas that you have, like, you know, about sort of, you know, I mean, I think, well, I don't know. I'll let you sort of share whatever your ideas rather than me inserting. Yeah.
That's fine. Because quite honestly, I don't really know. I mean, it's you know, just trying to figure out, you know, what would be the most engaging way to convey, and then thinking about time and how from, you know, maybe a few months down when there is an actual infant instead of my growing girth and then sort of backtracking, or just explaining it in some sort of linear fashion as these issues arise at each particular point in time. So trying to figure all of that out is tricky.
Yeah. I mean, it's extremely, you know, difficult. I mean, I mean, you know, just based on like the sort of creative discussions that you and I have had over the past few months since you know, sort of presented this idea. I mean, I think, you know, on the most basic level, what we're talking about is like something that would be, you know, quite different than what the EOC podcast is currently, right? Which is, you know, a very simple format. It's just an interview, and yeah, a lot of editing and production goes into like making those interviews sound as professional and as possible and as engaging as possible. But I mean, what you're talking about is a much more complicated storytelling process where there'll be interviews, there'll be sort of personal testimony, there'll be scripted narration. There'll be sound effects, I assume. I mean, it's like all these different pieces and, you know, you're trying to like put together into a set number of episodes, whether it's 8 or 10 or more or whatever. There'll be like a season. There'll be a beginning and a middle and an end. And then there'll be like specific topics. So there'll be like a beginning, middle and end to the whole season of the show. And then there'll also be a beginning, middle, and end within each episode as you know, explore specific topics within the larger context of the show and ideas that you're trying to convey. So, I mean, it's there's a lot there, right?
There's a lot.
And I mean,
there.
I wonder like what you're, you know, how you're developing like your process for sort of honing in on, you know, what story you're going to tell. And then like, at, you know, what stage are you at right now? Like, what are, you know, you physically doing at the moment? You know, like what kind of stuff are you recording? Are you recording like, you know, sort of personal testimony as you go through experiences? Are you already out there like recording interviews or thinking about people you want to talk to?
Yeah, pretty much currently it's a lot of pre-production and figuring out how to assemble stuff and how to assemble sort of what material is priority. So and making sure that I have that. And then, you know, yeah, having you know, recordings of different conversations, which is always, you know, kind of strange to be like, do you mind if I record this conversation? I know that we didn't plan this, but, you know, this is good, right? And so there's a little bit of like on the fly sort of thing. And I, you know, that's one thing that I have to say that, again, being sort of new to the podcast realm and not really having a clear sort of production, I don't know, sets way of doing things. It is right now kind of open and flexible and me trying to figure out how to cement this idea into something that like can be more methodically collect, like material that could be more methodically collected. But since it is, again, like, you know, a lot of it is, I'm not necessarily sure what's, exactly the right thing or the, oh, that must be in this sort of thing. I mean, there's a few of those components that I have thought of, and started to assemble a list of, oh, these are the voices that would really contribute strongly to those stories. But then there's a lot of filler, that's not really, I shouldn't even call it filler. There's a lot of important components that maybe aren't as long as, you know, an interview, but maybe just really strong sound bites that really help sort of convey these concepts that, you know, I'm trying to figure out what the best way to capture that is. And a lot of that is just if it in the moment, truly.
Yeah, I bet. you know, I just like one thing that I guess on a little bit of like a personal note, like one thing that that I'll share just because I don't know, I like maybe I'm curious to hear like your side of this, right? Because I was very struck by how you initially presented both this show idea to me, but also like the news that you're pregnant. Because it was like embedded. I think you sent me an email that like I think the subject line was like new show idea, and I'm like, oh, this sounds interesting. Like, all right, and I start reading it, and you're like pitching this idea, and then I find out it's like the information was almost like hidden within the email of like, oh, and I'm pregnant.
Yeah. So yeah, I was listening to a San Francisco Public Radio, they had a woman who works in conservation who was just sort of giving a commentary about being, you know, in her 30s and questioning whether or not to have kids and feeling like, well, I don't want to because it feels irresponsible given climate change, and among other things. And then yeah, at the same time she was having a hard time believing that the world was completely lost. And I'm sitting there like eating breakfast going, yes, I feel that's exactly where I was for the longest time. And I've paid attention to these debates, but it was particularly strong for me at this particular point in time, obviously. And then of course, I think I had opened it, this whole idea up with you saying that. And then saying, yeah, so, you know, when I discovered to my shock that I was pregnant, I had to think about how to go about this. And as I wrote it, I was like, wow, that is kind of a tricky, weird way to tell somebody that you're having a baby.
Like, I think I had to read that email like 3 or 4 times in order to like make, like, did I really read that correctly? Like, okay, so she is telling me that she's pregnant and there's new, you know, and it's, but I mean, I totally get it. Right. And I mean, because I had to like share that type of news. Obviously it was different for me for a whole number of reasons. Right. But like, there is like there's something about sharing that news with like sort of your professional like circle of colleagues versus like friends. And it was funny.
Yeah, I know. I realized that at the end, it was like, really, I just gave him a story pitch and threw that in there. Didn't really even say like, hey, so I just wanted to tell you. Because, you know, it just seemed like to me, it was just part of the whole thinking behind how to, you know, develop.
I think there's something else there, right? There's like a cultural thing there. Yes. And there's also like a sort of professional, like, I don't know if it's a stigma, but it's, you know, especially in like the space where you and I work, where a huge percentage of like the work that we do is done as, you know, is like freelance sort of contract work. And it's like, you know, having a kid is like a difficult thing. And it's difficult to share that information sometimes with like professional colleagues, because you're worried they might think like, oh, well how's that going to impact your work?
Right. Exactly. I mean, I honestly did not have that worry with you. I'll be completely frank and open about that. But it is something that has definitely crossed my mind many, many times. I worry that there's a perception that, you know, of I'm not capable or suddenly not going to have the capacity to do the level of work that's required. And that bothers me, and as it should. And truly, that's not something that should happen, but that's something that does happen. And openly too. There should not be discrimination given that somebody's having a child, but there is. It's just that is just a blatant fact. So it is tough to actually come out and say, like, yay, I'm pregnant. It's like, oh my God, am I gonna lose my job? Am I gonna lose an opportunity?
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, it's definitely not it's definitely different. As a man, right? But I still felt that to a certain degree, like in sharing that news with, you know, certain professional circles, certain colleagues. You know what I mean? you know, I think there is this perception, and again, I mean, I think that's the case in a lot of sort of professional fields, but I think it's, I don't know. I think like the field that we work in, like conservation and also like media production, is like so dominated by like, you know, freelance and contract work that it's like a, makes it particularly difficult, which is interesting, right? Because like, it's such like the question itself of like whether or not to have kids is like also so tied up in all these like sort of difficult like personal like ethical considerations when that's your professional field, you know, conservation or the environment, you know. And so it's like these two different things like just interacting, and like it's tricky to navigate.
It is tricky to navigate. And mostly, you know, I didn't want to be excused, right? I wanted, that was my fear, that suddenly I'd be like, oh, well, shoot, I guess this person's out.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, what you have decided to do with this experience, I think is really fantastic. You know, and I think, you know, it helps overcome that in a certain sense, because you're like, I'm going to turn this into like an opportunity, a professional opportunity, you know, and an opportunity to like share the story and share all these ideas and share what you're going through.
Yeah.
And hopefully other people, I mean, I know other people can relate to it, but hopefully other people can also like learn from it. And
yeah.
You know, maybe it makes some of these really difficult decisions and situations that a lot of folks have to navigate. Maybe it makes it a little bit easier for folks, you know?
Yeah. If nothing else, just to know that, you know, that there are other people that are traversing the same sort of terrain.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But this means that there's a transition for the EOC podcast.
Yes, for sure. And this is a good opportunity to sort of tell folks about the transition and how we're sort of shifting things around a little bit. I mean, I think we had a number of conversations about this, and I think both of us felt like, well, I don't know. I mean, this, like, I mean, you had sent me an email that sort of implied like that, and I was maybe reading between the lines a little bit, but I mean, there was an email that you sent me a few weeks back where I sort of read it and I was like, wow, like Catherine has a lot on her plate. She's trying to develop a whole new show and she's trying to do all the Eyes on Conservation podcast production responsibilities. And then we've also started to solicit your help in some of our Wildlands fundraising activities. And you're pregnant and growing a new human. I mean, I think the sort of like what we've come to in order to, you know, make sure that you have the time and energy to, continue to successfully grow that tiny human, but, you know, also to continue developing this new show, which I am super excited about and I think has a lot of potential, is to kind of split up the responsibilities for producing and co-hosting the EOC podcast. Basically we're just going to be, utilizing, the assistance of a few other folks who have already been contributing to the show, but sort of utilizing their skill set in assisting to produce episodes. And we'll still have you sharing content as well. I mean, I think part of the idea here is that you can sort of be sharing some of the content that you're working on developing for the new show as episodes of the EOC podcast as we go along.
And I think having that diversity will make things interesting as well at the same time. So, were you interested in changing the schedule some?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think a number of folks have sort of suggested to us, a number of the folks that we collaborate with on the show have suggested that maybe we should experiment with a bi-weekly schedule instead of releasing episodes every single week. We're gonna experiment with that, and we're gonna sort of relax the schedule a little bit and start releasing episodes bi-weekly. If there are folks out there that are like super upset about that and we're like, I need my EOC episode every single week, then like definitely let us know, because like that would be awesome feedback. I would actually be like really cool feedback to hear. Don't hesitate to share your feedback on that. But that's going to be sort of, at least in the short term, the shift that you'll see in the your podcast feed for Eyes on Conservation. And yes, we'll be having, you know, sort of a little bit more diversity of voices. But a lot of this will also just be happening sort of on the back end, you know, the side of the show that folks don't always hear, you know, who's going through those interviews and making all the edits and doing all the work that is required to sort of prepare these episodes for release. to make sure that everything's intelligible and professional, and building the show notes page and getting it released on iTunes, and all the sort of logistics involved with it as well.
You can find out more about the show on the show notes page at cloudlensinc.org/EOC156. This episode was produced and hosted by Matt Podolsky and myself, Catherine Dunning. Our theme music is by The Humidors.